Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of PI Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on PI Industries Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Mayank Singhal, Executive Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rajnish Sarna, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Agarwal, Group Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Prashant Hegde, CEO Domestic, and Dr. Ramesh Subramanyam, Global CEO, PI Health Sciences. We will begin the call with key perspectives from Mr. Singhal. Thereafter, we will have Mr. Agarwal sharing his views on the company's financial performance. After that, the forum will be open for question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to underline that certain statements made on today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the investor presentation shared with you earlier and also available on Exchange website. Please note that some of the management team members are traveling and hence joined on mobile connection. So please bear with us in terms of audio quality. I would now like to request Mr. Singhal to share his perspective. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, so thank you, Nishid. Thank you, and good afternoon to all of you. Very welcome to our call, to the PI's review of performance for the second quarter, the first half of FY25. I will start by providing a perspective on the current state of the global and local industry, update of our operational progress, and highlights and strategic milestones that we are working towards. As you know, the global crop protection industry is currently navigating a challenging landscape influenced by fluctuating agriculture markets, commodity prices, destocking, general product pricing pressure, rising inflation, and deferring purchase decisions, and so on. On the domestic side, delayed and erratic rainfalls impacting sowing acreages of many crops, price pressures of generics, channel inventories, etc., have also impacted the overall demand scenario and sentiments of the Kharif season. PI, on the other hand, has shown resilience despite the generally poor industry sentiment. We have once again achieved a strong financial quarter and H1 consistent with our plans. During Q2, we have delivered a 10% increase in AgChem exports driven by volume growth and growth of new products. New products have shown a 42% increase year on year. In the domestic business, we saw a 7% improvement in branded products, where volumes have sustained a 12% of an impact on pricing seen across the industry. However, given the emphasis on product mix and optimization of working capital management, the impact has been well mitigated. I wish to highlight that here, our biological portfolio has delivered a robust 18% growth year on year and has seen an enhanced profitability margin in line with the product mix and contribution from biologicals. As a leading player in the AgChem CSM sector, we are confident in our capacity to enhance engagement with innovators. Driven by our ongoing commitment to improving key technologies and chemistries, our focus on high-end projects has led to a collaboration with top innovators from the commercialization of advanced molecules. Additionally, as previously mentioned, the pace of these commercializations has increased in line with our investments in R&D and technologies. On the domestic front, the business model well aligned to introducing new brands with high-value crop price segment and biologicals. During the first half, we saw four new brands launched. These were Presido, which is a novel broad-spectrum insecticide, Dorito, and once again a broad-spectrum insecticide with cotton and Brinjal, Oceanlarda, that is a superior formulation for sucking pests, and Soldier, which is a microbial biofertilizer. H2 has seen a couple of more brands getting introduced. This is equally attractive runway of growth available in the domestic business, where we have demonstratively superior product pipeline. We have presently high-potential categories with AgChem, horticulture products, and biological, which will underwrite margin-led growth in the years to come. PI has a history of setting industry-leading outcomes. Our relationships with big global innovators and the strong, consequently, the pace of 6 to 7 molecules getting commercialized will be maintained. Molecules have been commercialized in the recent few years and gaining scale, driving runway of sustainable growth. I'm confident that the next batch of molecules shall maintain these levels of traction and enhance our mix in the periods to come. The pace of new inquiries are healthy, with more than 50% coming from non-ACTEM, from innovative products. This work has been done in advance to search new chemistry and technologies and aiding this trend. We have seen recovery of our domestic revenue in the second quarter. Several high-performance brands have established in each crop segments in horticultural areas. The recent initiatives on this biological front and from the setting of focal upcoming growth areas for us, PI has set a sterling recovery execution and with a strong of its balance sheets in place are very comfortable to continue delivery as per plan, adjusting on such temporary industry level disturbances. As we finalize the acquisition of Plant Healthcare, following the successful completion of the legal and regulatory requirements of this plan, the business boasts top ties, birth products, intellectual and within protein and peptide platforms for agri-biologicals. This has experienced considerable success in the commercialization of peptide products. Both current and pipeline offerings present similar growth potential with plans to advance development efforts to continue to introduce more innovative class of biological solutions at a global scale. On the other hand, a pharma vertical is shaping as well, and upgrade is on the way infrastructure and business development capabilities. We have seen the seeding investments in a view for having integrated CRDMO for global innovator. We are building leadership strengths in the U.S., Italy, and Hyderabad in both business developments and scientific areas. And I'm very happy to say there's well in place, which is going to take to drive the business into the future. During the first half, we've seen revenues remain impacted due to half high inventory of with innovators. We expect the order visibility to translate and the run rates in H2. Initiatives for upgrading capabilities are progressing well, and in the coming years, the venture shall have strong momentum in growth and scale. Hyderabad facilities are commencing operation, whereas upgradation of IPB facilities is expected to be completed by the year end. We have continued our efforts and initiatives to keep improving our ESG performance, which is reflected in the recent upgrade of S&P Global of CSA, ranking at the 97% in reflection to our vision of reimagining a healthy planet. This has put us in the global sustainable yearbook of 2024 as one of the only few companies from India. Considering this global industry scenario, we are realigning our outlook to high single-digit growth. Now we keep updating this in the industry process through the transition phase. Growth in the second half of the year will be driven by demand scale of new products launched in the last 3 years. Capacity expansion is on track and momentum for few inquiries. I would now like to conclude my remarks and hand it over to Sanjay, our CFO, to move forward with the conversation. And thank you once again for being with us. Thank you. And over to you, Sanjay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Singhal. Good afternoon, friends, who all are there on the call today. I'll summarize the company's financial highlights for the second quarter ended September 30, 2024. Please note that all the comparisons are on year-on-year basis, and we are referring to the consolidated performance. As Mr. Singhal has shared, our performance demonstrates a differentiated approach of doing business and a sharp focus on keeping operating parameters in line with the objectives. To share in specific highlights, during quarter two, we reported a revenue of 22,210 million, a growth of 5% over the same period of last year, which also translates into a three-year quarter two CAGR of 18%. Export revenues grew by 8% at 17,610 million and a 5% decline in domestic revenue to ₹4,600 million. While the revenue of the branded products grew by 7%, volume growth was 12%. There's been also a healthy expansion in the gross margin by 519 bps to 52%, and EBITDA has increased by 14% and stands at 28%. Profit after tax increased by 6% to 5,082 million, primarily attributable to the EBITDA growth in spite of increase in our ETR to 23%. Let me also cover the YTD performance, which is for the half year FY25. Revenue has grown, or revenue is 42,899 million, a growth of 7% over the same period last year, again translating into a three-year H1 CAGR of 19%. Export revenue grew by 10% to 35,104 million and 6% decline in domestic revenue to 7,795 million, while the branded revenue of the branded products grew by 3%. There is a volume increase of 9%. So overall, the expanded gross margin and EBITDA stands at 52% and 28% respectively. And profit after tax for the half year improved or increased by 11% to 9,571 million. ETR for past 6 months, YTD, has been at 22.1. We expect the ETR for the full financial year FY25 to be in the range of 22 to 23%. Cash flow from operating activities also increased by 20% to 8,006 million. This was due to higher EBITDA and efficient working capital management. The trade working capital days in terms of days of sales has improved from 84 days to 70 days. Similarly, better inventory management has led to reduction in inventory days from 63 days to 50 days. In terms of the balance sheet, as you would have noticed, balance sheet has been further strengthened during this quarter. Our net worth has increased to 95,454 million as of 30th of September, and a healthy net cash balance of rupees 39,227 million. With this, I conclude my opening commentary. I now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on the pharma business here. We have been seeing pretty soft revenues. We knew about the one-time expenses that we incurred in this quarter, but otherwise also, the margins have been keeping low. Just trying to understand your thoughts in terms of the volume, whether there is a volumetric decline as well, or it is largely pricing and the trajectory going ahead over there.
Thanks, Ankur. So the key reason for softness is the temporary, blip in terms of, some of these products that we have been supplying. There is inventory at the innovators level, and therefore the inventory picking is slow. And that has also impacted overall margin profile, as you see. The other impact is also one of our customers also filed kind of Chapter 11 in this quarter. And because of that, some inventory which was meant for them is also, we are holding it. We are not yet supplying, and that has also impacted this quarter's projected revenues and therefore the margins, because the development spend is continuing. I hope this answers your question.
Sure, Sanaji. Just a follow-up there. So from a volumetric perspective, is there as significant a decline, in terms of volumes as well, what we see in the revenues, and how do you see the trajectory picking up?
Yeah, so for H1, there is certainly volume reduction, but we are now seeing the volumes picking up in the third and fourth quarter.
Okay. Fair enough. Second question on, our guidance, wherein now we are expecting a high single-digit number versus, let's say, a 15% sort of a growth earlier. What is driving this, guidance revision? Is it the domestic ECM business, which has declined, year-on-year in H1, or the pharma, or the ex-CSM, or all of them?
Well, it is mainly, in any case, as you know, that pharma doesn't contribute significantly to the overall PI's revenues, etc., as of now. So this realignment we are doing in view of the global industry landscape that we are seeing. We are also experiencing that at least for the short term, people are in wait and watch kind of a situation where they are still monitoring and very critically monitoring the inventory levels. You must be also reading in commentaries of these global companies that everyone is monitoring their inventory levels, and they are kind of in a wait and watch kind of a mode as of now, deferring their procurement decisions. So in view of this transient kind of a phase, we have also kind of realigned our growth guidance for FY25, which we were earlier projecting in double digits. We are now seeing that we should certainly be aiming for higher single digits or early double digit kind of a level.
Just a clarification here. So when you say, deferment in the short term, essentially we are referring to the entire H2 then, right? Because this is a peak season from a business perspective for us. So any deferral here is going to, the recovery will be further back-ended in FY26 then. Would that be a right way to look at it?
Well, I'll not at this point kind of comment on, mid to long term, because as I said in the beginning, this is kind of a wait and watch kind of a situation at this point. But yes, we are clearly able to see next two quarters, and seeing those next two quarters kind of scheduling, we believe that yes, we should be touching higher single digit or near double digit kind of numbers.
Okay, sure. That's very helpful. Thanks for your answers. I'll get back in with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to two at the first round. You can come back in the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take our next question from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the presentation. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. And sorry, just to kind of, go back to, the previous question, when you've mentioned that you're facing these inventory issues, wanted to check if, these issues are actually more focused on your legacy portfolio. And given that, you were actually reporting very, very strong volume numbers for the past many quarters, just wanted to understand if, that's actually what has caused a bit of an inventory pileup. And just wanted to get your assessment in terms of how severe you think this could be. A bit of an extension of the previous question. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is certainly pertaining to some of our existing products. Because if you see, in terms of new products, we have registered a, impressive growth of close to 42% in this quarter in CSM. If you also see that in last two quarters, last year as well as before last year, we have been, growing at a very, very decent pace. 20% plus year before and, 30% plus before that. So yes, some of these existing products, it seems that the customer level, channel level, they are kind of witnessing some sort of inventory, and therefore, given the overall industry scenario and also general pressure on these companies to rationalize their working capital, etc., they are kind of rationalizing some inventory levels, etc. So that is one effect. In terms of new products, new product portfolio, I think those are doing well. which is also reflecting, as I said, in terms of growth, year-on-year growth that we are witnessing.
I'm sure, sir, that makes sense. And the second question I had, it's a bit of a two-part question on the margins. Again, the margin trajectory has been very, very strong. So just wanted to understand, you know, how much of this is actually coming from the newer products. So if you could just give us some sense of, you know, how much these new products are making up of your overall export portfolio and just how different are the margin profiles here compared to, say, your legacy portfolio. Thank you so much.
Well, new products account for anywhere between 16% to 18%, and it depends on the quarter that we are talking. The margin profile is generally, I would say, similar, not significantly different. Yes, in case of new products, as we produce campaign after campaign, we keep improving the processes, and therefore some margin improvement is always there, which is also shared with our customers. But yes, the profile is, I would say, broadly similar.
Sure, sir. Got it. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Madhav Marda from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for your time. My first question was on the margin profile. If I look at PI's longer-term history, generally gross margins for us have been about 45-46%. In the last 2-3 quarters, this number obviously has moved up to a very healthy 52-53%, which is helping EBITDA margins as well. Just could you give us some sense in terms of sustainability of these gross and EBITDA margins for the company on a longer-term basis? Is it because is it a product mix thing, or is it like domestic is a bit weaker, which the margins are a bit better for us? Could you help us understand something there? Thank you.
Yeah, so this is on account of product mix mainly, because product mix, when I'm saying product mix, this also accounts for the mix of existing and new products in our export. This also accounts for our domestic business, where we are also commercializing a lot of new products, and particularly biologicals. So yes, I mean, the product mix has been favorable for us over last few quarters, and that is certainly driving this margin improvement that we are witnessing, both in terms of gross margin, in terms of EBITDA margin.
So is that a sustainable trend, or once some other parts of the business probably, you know, come back? Of course, there are some parts of the portfolio, you know, where maybe growth is a bit slower because of challenges which you highlighted. So once that comes back, do we see like better revenue growth but with more normalized margins in line with historical, or is this like a new base for margins for the company?
Yeah, so we consider 26-27% margin to be sustainable, particularly in the core business that we are talking, which is exports and our domestic. Yes, of course, as you know, on the consolidation basis, we are also investing in some of these new businesses, whether it is health science or whether it is our biologicals, global biologicals. But yes, on core business basis, 26-27% margins are very much sustainable.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my questions. Sir, if you could please just help us understand of this high single-digit revenue growth guidance for fiscal 25. What sort of expectation do we have for the agrochemical CSM business in particular, and then maybe, you know, any of the other lines as well?
So maybe if you can please explain a little bit, Vijit, I couldn't get your question.
High single digits guidance, I presume, is for the overall company level. So within that, you know, for the agrochem CSM business in particular, is there, you know, some sort of range we can offer, guidance range?
So, as you know that, we have already done reasonably well in terms of our exports. We've grown by almost 10%, 10-11% in the first half. The domestic branded business was a little relatively subdued, but given the positives on reservoirs and, you know, prospects of reasonably good Rabi, we believe that we should be doing well in our domestic branded business, maybe double-digit or early double-digit kind of growth. And on the other side, because of scheduling, many of the products we have been able to supply during the first half. On export side, it may be higher single-digit kind of growth or single-digit kind of growth that we are seeing. So on a blended basis, that is the reason we are saying that we should be reaching close to, I mean, higher single-digit or near double-digit kind of numbers.
Thank you, sir. Just to clarify, these numbers you mentioned, early double digits for domestic and high single digits for exports, this is for the second half only or for the full year?
No, second half. Since you asked me for second half, I was trying to explain to you for second half. And for full year basis, this will result into higher single digit basis our estimates.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That's helpful. And just one last thing from my side. One is the other income seems rather on the higher side. So, what exactly has contributed to that, and how sustainable is that? And also just on the revenues from new products, it's 16% to 18%. That pertains only to the CSM business, right? That's 16% to 18% of CSM revenues is what we are seeing, just to clarify that.
Yes, yes, yes.
And also-
Yes.
Yeah, also on the other income, that's primarily gone up due to interest earned on higher cash balance. So if you see this year, we have 3,922 crores versus 2,890 crores last year. So the base of the cash balance, what we have, has gone up, say, by around 25%. So that has led to higher interest income. And then there are small one-off gains, primarily due to some favorable orders we have received on tax litigation. Yeah, so that's broadly adds up to the other income increase.
So the one-off items, was it possible to just split out how much that might have been?
That won't be that significant. Primarily, as I said, it's because of the higher cash balance what we have, which is more on a consistent basis.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. So first question, again, delving on to the CSM part of the business. So, given that probably our customers, innovators, would have finalized the volumes for 2025, so how do we have a visibility on our legacy products and new products from a calendar year 2025 perspective? Although you have given largely for the second half, but just to be a little bit on a broader perspective for 2025. Thank you.
Well, it is little early, and as I said, that since at this point in time, people are in wait and watch kind of a mode. So for many products, yes, there is a clear indication and longer term understanding is there. But for many of the existing products, still there are, you know, assessments being done at their end. So we will be able to know of, you know, a clear picture maybe in a next one and a half quarter.
Fair enough. So second question is, usually we give our order book, which is missing during this particular quarter in the presentation. So is it because just the way you answered the earlier question in terms of the visibility that we have, or there is some order
book, which is probably got dissipated because of the impending issues? Just your thoughts on the same. Thank you.
Nothing. There was nothing significant improvement to report, and that's why it is not there, figuring there in our communication. But yes, we still maintain $1.425 billion kind of order book position as of now.
Sure. Thanks a lot for answering the questions, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Kalpit Narvekar from EFG Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is on this, the growth for the AgChem exports business, right, which was about 10% for the second quarter, and you flagged that the new molecule growth was 45%. So could you elaborate a little bit as to this? When I back calculate shows that maybe the growth in the legacy molecules is only 2-3%.
Audio.
So could you kind of elaborate?
I'm sorry to interrupt, Kalpit.
Gentlemen, your audio is not at all clear.
Yeah.
Kalpit, may I request
you am I audible now?
Mode?
Yeah, it is better.
Am I audible now? Yeah.
Yes,
So my question was that the new molecule growth for this quarter has been 45% on about 18% of your business, right? So that may be like contributing 8% of the total growth. And the total growth was like 10%. So that kind of tells that your old legacy molecules are probably growing at like 2-4%. So could you just elaborate on why that legacy molecule growth has kind of slowed a little bit?
Yeah, obviously this is what I was saying, that some of our old legacy molecules have grown slower, whereas the new introduction or newly commercialized molecules in last 2-3 years, the pace of growth there is certainly much higher, more than 40%. Even I recall last quarter also it was more than 20-24%. So yes, I mean, this is the kind of change that we are seeing. So two things are happening. One is that we are very aggressively introducing new molecules. This year itself, we would be launching or commercializing, I think, 7 products. Okay. We've already commercialized 4 products in first half. And on the other hand, the growth of these newly commercialized products is also higher, because they are growing on a lower base. So yes, this is what is reflecting in overall growth of exports, CSM exports.
Mm. Sure, thanks. And so my second question was on the second half outlook that you mentioned, right? That you expect kind of high single digit growth for the AgChem exports, but that growth was like 10-11% for first half, and the other way around for the domestic, right? So essentially you're seeing some softness on the AgChem export side, right? So what are the key reasons of that kind of slowdown from 10-11% to high single digit levels on AgChem exports, right, for the second half? Is it more because of the industry, that the destocking you thought was coming to an end and maybe it's not, or is it from competition? Just to get some reasons on that, right?
Yeah, it is mainly because of, as I explained earlier, it is mainly because of inventory levels and the, the initiatives of these global companies to kind of bring down their overall working capital investments, exposures,
etc.
So that is the key reason.
And just any kind of visibility on like when it can potentially, like when the inventory is kind of normalized and stuff, it's still too early to kind of call out on that?
Well, we get different kind of, I would say we get different kind of indications. So yes, some indications suggest that maybe 2-3 quarters more before this whole thing is normalized. We also, by the way, very interestingly get certain scenarios where indicated that there is a slowdown in that specific product's requirements, and then suddenly 1 month later, 2 months later, we are shipping products by plane, by aircraft. So you can imagine there are different kinds of scenarios here. And this is the reason I believe this is more a wait-and-watch kind of a situation, a transient situation, a very temporary kind of a situation. Because if you ask me in terms of fundamentals of this business, so given the growing population, given this increasing climate change concern and food security concerns and all those aspects, we are not seeing acreages going down, by the way. Okay? So demand in mid to long term has to be there, will be there. It is only these temporary phenomena that because of some of these generic pricing pressures, some of these commodity pricing scenarios, destocking in some of these markets, that it is reflecting on overall behaviors at this point. But we believe that in next few quarters, these things should streamline to a great extent.
Great. Thank you so much. Congratulations on the recent quarter. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, kindly restrict to two questions at a time, please. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. Next question is from the line of Aditya Jhawar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just one question. What has been the pricing trend for, you know, some of our key older products? Are we seeing any, you know, change in that?
Well, those have been, I would say, reasonably stable pricing. Of course, wherever there is some softening of raw materials, I mean, those impacts are obviously reflecting in the selling prices. But if your question was more about our exports, existing molecules,
yes.
Yeah, it was reasonably stable, I would say.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. And you explained well about the inventory buildup. But, you know, sorry to harp on the same topic. So clearly, I mean, since we cater to the innovators, the supply is fairly curtailed in that sense. Now, are we seeing a situation on the ground where some of the products are, you know, are seeing increase in competition? Are we seeing shift towards, you know, generic, maybe downtrading because, you know, generic companies have, some of the generic companies have reported a strong, you know, volume growth? Any specific thing that you would like to call out on product-specific issues?
Well, to be honest, we have not seen so far seen that sort of scenario that some of these products' volumes are getting curtailed or you know, some genericization impact is coming. At least as of now, we do not see that sort of a situation. In fact, we have also not seen, you know, a significantly great performance coming from some of these generic companies as well. So I don't know what kind of, you know, generic movement that you are indicating to us. But yeah, we in
Also, I must want to highlight, President, I may want to highlight that you may also need to look at their base from last year while they're showing the growth of whatever the growth, please look at the drop in the base from volume last year, and then you can probably get a better sense.
Sure, sure. That's helpful. Final question
but,
on the CapEx.
This is what Aditya, I was also explaining, that if you see the kind of buildup of this growth, so for example, last year, same quarter, we grew by 24%. Before last year, 29%. Even first half, if you see, last year we grew by 22%, and before last year, almost 30%. So point being made is that this buildup is over a period of time, and because of some of these, not specifically for our product, but in general, some sort of challenges in the industry. And whenever you have these sort of challenges, I mean, obviously, rationalization, optimization, all those things come in. And yes, those will have their own impact.
Yeah, yeah. So, final question. So, could you please remind us which are the key markets for our main product where registration process is still ongoing? We are yet to launch in some of the major markets.
For what? For which product you are referring?
So, the biggest product, pyroxasulfone, which is, which are the key markets where the registration process is still...
Yeah, there are many.
He would not be in a position to comment.
Yeah. Because this is, registrations are generally taken up by the innovator, not by us. Our product
So there is geotagging also for a location. So we might have, last time I remember you indicated about well markets and just wanted to get an update on that. Fair enough, I'll take it on offline. And final question, sir, any change in CAPEX outlook considering the change situation?
No, we are going by the same plan, 800-900 crores this year. That is the plan.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. On the pharma business, what is the outlook for the business from here on? And so if I can, from the time you acquired the business, what has not really played out to plan?
So outlook, I already explained to the earlier participants that we are seeing volume uptick from second half. This is what the current assessment is. In terms of your second question, that what has not ticked, so I'll say, I do not see anything that has not ticked, because we always maintain that we are acquiring these companies to build this platform. A lot of development effort will be there, and which is what we are currently doing. Whether it is upgradation of the facilities that we have got with these acquired entities, or whether building leadership teams, both on the research side as well as on business development side, building new clients, pipelines. So a lot of development spend is happening. I would also request maybe Ramesh, who is there, my colleague, to put some light on this. Ramesh, you are there?
Yeah, I am. So as Dharmesh pointed out, what we focus on is to, add the right people to the team. We've now almost fully staffed both on the business side and on the scientific side. And the second part we focused on is operationally to get the right cadence going. So we focused on the sites that we acquired to make sure that any customer that comes in is able to scale with us, right? Because people who come want to stay with you for a longer time, and that's how we build a sustainable business. So to that extent, we have sort of back integrated one of the sites that we got in Italy by putting a CO lab in that should be operational. We're almost there. That should be operational in Q1 FY26, so that we can begin projects there. And the R&D center in Hyderabad and the Jaipur facilities are also now operational. So we've got the operations thing almost done, and we finished the key hires. We've had some headwinds in terms of the general market also in the pharmaceutical business. And we see that also sort of fading off and green shoots happening in terms of the future. So, starting from H2 this year and for the future, we expect to, provide you with a lot more detailed answers on both the pipeline build-up and future growth.
And Ramesh, do you expect the business to be EBITDA positive? Or when do you expect the business to become EBITDA positive from, which period of time?
we certainly hope that the trend will begin even in H2, but I'll be able to give you a lot more clarity as we go into Q4 next year. So if you can just hold that thought as I push through.
Okay, and so if I can have a last one, what is the pipeline like on the CDMO side in your business right now? How many products do we supply commercially, and how many more do you expect to go commercial?
So the pipeline build-up in general, I can comment saying that we engage with several customers, both on the early development side, on the late development side, right? On the commercial side, although we are talking to customers, with multiple customers, commercial projects are not easy to come by. Typically, you try to get into the late phase and then go into commercial. That's what we're trying to do.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and thank you very much. In the pharma business, you have mentioned on slide 13 some new addition to your business like 3 CDMO order and 3 new projects. So is it possible to quantify this in terms of what will be the impact on revenue and by when, and some color on exit revenue for FY25, if I may ask?
Sorry, come again. What was your second question?
The second question was what do you hope to achieve as revenue by the end of March 25 or exit revenue for the base for FY26?
Yeah. So we are targeting to achieve, 250 to 275 crore by the end of this year. But yes, we are also monitoring the inventory situation and talking to these large customers that are there currently. So yeah, this is more of the current assessment that we can share. In terms of your other question, projects identify for near long term. So again, I think it will be too early for us to kind of quantify these numbers. But yes, the key point here is that there is a significant pace that this new customer interaction, engagement and development is happening with the strengthening of our team, both in US, Europe and of course in India. And by the way, this is only the second year of this business. So as we have indicated in past, that it will take for us a couple of years time to kind of bring this to a faster pace from the level that we have acquired it. And we are still very, very confident that in next 3-4 years time, we'll be taking this to a completely different level, making a meaningful contribution to the overall PI's business.
Okay, that's useful. And secondly, if you look at the domestic business, I think the revenue of 460 crores is very heartening, possibly is one of the highest. So in the context of the growth in new products you talked about and the pricing pressure, can you highlight, what is the kind of timeline you see for the pricing pressure to abate, and any key, segments or crops where you saw the growth, and how do you see the second half based on the trend in the Rabi fundamentals helping you in terms of the second half performance in the domestic business?
So there were too many questions, so let me try and respond one by one. So I think I already explained to the earlier participants about our current outlook for the second half. We expect to do better in terms of our domestic revenues distribution business. We expect Rabi to be going well. We already have launched a host of new products. There are already very, very interesting products which were introduced in last 2-3 years. So we have a very decent portfolio where a lot of effort is going on, and we expect that we should be growing in double digit terms at least in our domestic distribution business in second half. As far as our exports are concerned, Second half, as I said, we will be in the higher single digit kind of level, given the overall industry scenario, global industry situation that we are seeing. And then for pharma, I think we have separately explained to you. So probably this answers your question.
Okay. So on pharma, one last thought, you have given some CapEx details. So can you give us some sense of how much you plan to spend for full year in CapEx in pharma for FY25 and for the next couple of years?
So for this year, I think we already indicated the CapEx is to the tune of some 100-125 crore for FY25.
Yeah.
And for next year, it will be half of it because a lot of spend is already done this year in pharma at least.
Okay, thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Given that we have completed the plant healthcare acquisition, can you give us some color in terms of how are we planning to scale up this business in terms of both domestic and global launches?
Yeah. Mayank, you may want to add something.
Sir, I'm sorry. My answer is not there on the
call. Okay. So, on plant healthcare, we completed, as you know, we completed our acquisition this quarter, completed quarter. Now, our objective is basically to make investments in development of their market development of their existing portfolio and also research development of their pipeline because it's a cutting edge kind of platform, peptide platform that is there. And they have three products which are already commercialized in major markets like US, Brazil, Europe. We would also be commercializing some of these products in India for which, you know, initial effort is already started. And in other markets, a lot of development work because these biologicals need a lot of initial development for market development. So those efforts will be made. And because all these three products have a significant growth potential across these major markets that I explained. The other market I forgot to mention was Mexico. Okay, so Brazil, Mexico, US, Europe, and of course, India. We are also kind of very actively currently working with the research team of plant healthcare and looking at opportunities of, you know, working on, you know, joint development along with our research setups, agri research setups in PI. And, you know, so both from biological side and chemical side, how we can kind of work on these two different streams and come out with some very, very interesting solutions for the regenerative and sustainable farming. This is the next goal for us in this business. But yes, I mean, it is suffice to say that we have a very interesting technology platform in front of us, a interesting portfolio in front of us, and now the whole effort is to do the development work and take these products and businesses and pipelines to their you know, potential. That's the idea.
And secondly, in terms of manufacturing these products, would we be looking to also manufacture these products in-house, or we would continue with the existing vendors from Europe? How would we think about that?
Well, we are evaluating various options. So for now, we are continuing with the existing sources. But yeah, I mean, for future, we are already evaluating several opportunities.
So just one last question. Plant Healthcare has spoken about $100 million plus revenues by 28-29. do we think that we could get to that number now that given that we have a strong balance sheet size as well?
Yes, that is very much possible given the significant potential those products have.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take a last question from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So for domestic business in last two quarters, and we have seen a 6% degrowth, when we see the industry growth is in the higher single digit or double digit, and other agrochemical companies are performing. So is there any issue with our any product which where the price is declining, apart from what institutional sales degrowth you are talking about?
Yeah, so domestic, as far as our domestic brand business is concerned, there's no degrowth, and that is the reason we try to, you know, also explain in our investor communication that there is volume uptick that we are seeing. For example, for the first half, we have seen close to 9% kind of volume growth. Yes, we have seen some price reduction or price pressure in some of these old molecules of ours. But yes, overall there is 3% growth. In the second half, as I mentioned earlier, yes, we are expecting double-digit kind of growth, and which is mainly driven by many of these new introductions that we have done over last 2-3 years. Maybe Prashant, if you are there, you may want to give some color on domestic brand business. Prashant?
Yes. Yeah. Hi. Yes, domestic brand business has registered a growth, volume growth of 12% and overall growth of 7% in quarter two. And in H1, volume growth of around 9%. And overall growth of 3% because there is a price correction. Second half is looking good. Water in the reservoirs are better. Hopefully, adverse weather-related events, what we have seen in the first half, are behind us. Hence, we are seeing a good momentum, especially in crops like chili, rice, pulses, fruits and vegetables. Plus, the three new products which are launched in first half, and another three more products which are scheduled for launch in the second half. These things should help us to register a good growth in the second half.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Sumant Kumar, you're through with your question, right?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take one more last question from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. By when do you think our recently acquired, plant healthcare business could turn EBITDA positive? And does this quarter contain any one-off expenses from the acquisition?
Yeah, I mean, there were some one-offs, not in front of me, but yes, there were some small one-offs in this quarter. But yeah, it will take, I would say, couple of years time, 2-3 years time for this new business to come up, and mainly because a lot of development spend would be needed because there are products, there are existing products and pipeline as I was explaining, and a lot of development spend would be needed to kind of grow these markets, the large markets that are there from US to Brazil to South America, to Asia, to Europe, and also a lot of research work which will happen. So yeah, maybe in a couple of years' time, we would expect this business to contributing in terms of profitability.
Noted. And lastly, if I may, so let's say despite negative contribution from PHC and also our health sciences business, you expect this 26-27% margin. So you are expecting a decent performance in the Ag-Chem CSM business. Is that correct?
Yes. So this is what when we share our outlook on margins, we account for these development spends that are happening. So yes, we will continue. I mean, the strength of our portfolio, both in our exports as well as in our domestic. So strength of our product portfolio, the technologies that are helping us keep on improving processes and, margin profile of these products, basically differentiates us in the industry, and that strength will continue.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering my question. Wish you all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. So thank you so much. Thank you all for your continued interest in PI. We really appreciate your time and effort in joining this call. Thank you so much.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of PI Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.